This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio back from its unscheduled short break. I'm Darren Adam. Lovely to have your company today, and indeed the company of my colleague here at RÚV, but Björn Stottir. Hello.
Hi, Darren.
For an episode of The Week in Iceland.
Yes.
And as I am both Icelandic and British, I thought we'd start by talking about the weather.
That we do that a lot, especially this time of year, but
that happens here
all
as
year
well.
Round, I think.
Now, what's really odd here is that as we have our conversation on Monday afternoon, there's already a series of yellow warnings across the east and parts of the north of the country. They will turn orange, mm-hmm. and bear in mind it's the 2nd of June today.
Yes. The Icelandic summer at its best.
Snowstorms and blizzards.
Yes.
Now, we'll get to why, you know, what's happening with all of that. But what makes this even stranger is not the fact that there's snow in June, which is not unheard of. It is the fact, surely, that a week ago, maybe not even a week ago, there were temperatures of, 25 degrees?
Yeah, and almost, yeah, like I think 2 weekends ago, there were record heat waves all over the country.
Yeah.
And I think this is, we're kind of used to this. We get, you know, shocked and sad every time, but it happens every year. We call it hret. War red, it's called in Icelandic.
Yes.
And it's a very cold word. And yeah, it's a part of living here. I mean, yes. You know, like you know now.
That well, as you know, I'm one of the few Icelanders or the few people that came to Iceland, or both of those things actually. Not despite the weather, but because of it. Because
yes.
I like the cold weather. I like the darkness. I love winter. I think it's a wonderful country to have winter in. But it is a very changeable climate.
It is. And you know the saying, you know, in Icelandic, if you don't like the weather, wait a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and it is true.
And we shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't neglect the fact that these are quite serious conditions coming in, especially with the orange alert, which is the middle of the three.
And especially now, I mean, everyone are supposed to have their winter tires taken off their cars.
Yes.
So that's part of the reason why the authorities are asking people just, you know, to stay at home and not to at least travel between the country parts.
Yes. Well, I was going to put all year round tires on my car last time, but the tire shop said, well, you can, but they're not great in the rain. Oh, okay.
Okay. That leaves that out.
There's a bit of that here in Iceland as well,
yes,
from time to time.
Yeah.
So yeah, people are driving around on summer tires, especially if you have studded tires in the winter. You can't use those, I think, after April, unless the conditions allow. But of course, people are going to change back, thinking, well, it's springtime now, if not summer.
Exactly. And it's against the law to be driving around in those winter tires.
Yes.
After a certain period of time.
Yes. Yes.
So people shouldn't be doing that.
But you know, winter tires, which don't have to be studded, you can have winter tires which aren't studded.
That's true.
And they, you know, they're legal to use.
Yeah.
But they're
studded
better,
once, yeah.
Better to use in the winter than the summer.
True.
Even though we're now, as I say, on the 2nd of June and this feels like summer. The National Day is not far away either, is
it? 17th
of June.
Yeah.
Which is usually thought of as the height of summer, isn't it? By some people.
Yeah, by some people, yeah. It's we hope always to get good weather, but that, you know, we had the 7th, 17th of June in, you know, sunshine and rain and snow, I think. So.
And just bear in mind that 3 weeks today, the nights start getting longer again.
That's
and the days
true.
Start getting short.
That's true. Enjoy it while we can.
All right. This is The Week in Iceland. So let's take a look back at some of the other stories from this week. And a flight had to make an emergency landing at Keflavik here in Iceland because of carbon monoxide having leaked into the cabin.
Yeah. It was a flight from United Airlines flying from Zurich to Chicago. And I think the first news was that, you know, almost 10 passengers were getting sick and no one knew the reason for it. So they had to emergency land here in Keflavik. There was a lot of, you know, ambulances and police that came to the place because the fire department as well, because it was, of course, loaded with fuel, being planned to fly all the way to Chicago.
Yes.
The landing went well, and it appears that, you know, once the aircraft was opened, everyone felt better. So it was a kind of a carbon dioxide poisoning.
Yes.
Some poisonous, odorless gas that leaked into the plane.
But it's a scary moment because, and you might have seen horror films that start like
exactly.
this. You know, a plane lands no one knows why the people on board are being sick.
Yeah.
I think the chief epidemiologist was called as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, yes, she was.
To see what was happening. But a relatively easy solution.
Yes,
and open no one the was. Doors.
Yeah, true. But no one was, as far as I know, seriously hurt or injured.
No,
everyone
no.
got better, but they stayed here for at least one night.
Yes.
I don't know how they felt about going on the plane again. I imagine that might have been difficult for some people.
Yeah, you can't just open a window, can you?
No, you can't. You can't. That's dangerous. So yeah, it was. It looked very serious, and of course, it could have been, you know, something.
Yes.
And if it would have happened, you know, overseas on the way to the US, I mean, it might have been more difficult to control. So it was, yeah, it looked really serious at the beginning, and the first news was like, you know, you don't know what's going to happen if, you know, at least 10 people are really sick on board a plane. It's, you know, that doesn't sound too good.
That's worrying.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it happens often that planes land in Iceland on an emergency basis. I mean, it's quite a handy place if you're crossing the Atlantic and something.
And there's
like
a lot of air traffic from Europe to the States, it happens once in a while, but, you know, these were, I would say, especially dramatic circumstances, I would say.
Shall we talk about the concert that took place at Lodershook? And this was Saturday
night, yes.
With a trio called FM Nifim Bleu, from the FM Nifim Show radio station.
Exactly.
I think they do the afternoon show.
It's a group of guys that have this very popular radio show on FM Nifim Show, which is another channel. But they are hugely popular. They have, are kind of big celebrities in Iceland, have done TV shows and have this very popular radio show. And a lot of people came to the concert. I think it was like an 8-hour program or something in Laugardalshöll, in Laugardalur in Reykjavik. And it appears that, you know, something went wrong. Those who were hosting the concert say that, you know, of course, this is terrible what happened. And it looks like that because there was a gap, like 15-minute gap in the schedule, everyone in the showroom tried at the same time to get out to get fresh air or go to the bar. The people who, the guy who's called Ísleifur Þórhallsson, he is the frontman for, what's it called, a union for people who host concerts.
I think he's behind Airwaves as well, isn't he?
Yes, he is, he said his opinion on this is that, you know, obviously something went wrong.
Yes.
I mean, obviously those who were in charge and were, didn't do their job. Something went, because there have been, of course, many, you know, big concerts here in Iceland that have gone really well.
And about 10,000 people.
Yeah, I think 9 to 10,000 people were there.
Were there.
And I mean, so many people have been in Laugardalshöll before.
Yes.
Without major complications. So it looks like, I think the police is still investigating it and, you know, we wait for the results. But kind of it looks like, you know, something in the planning and the scheduling in the event.
So no one spotted that there would be a point where 10,000 people would all try to do the same thing at the same time.
And maybe because the big area wasn't put down in smaller areas inside it, like often is in like big concerts. So, but just, you know, the descriptions from the people who were there, who were frightened.
Mm.
It's quite scary. And I imagine, you know, being there, you know, stuck and getting nowhere and having difficulty breathe. I think 15 people went to the emergency room after the concert. So it's kind of a serious event.
Indeed. And we hope and believe, I think, that everyone is now okay.
Yes.
But the emergency care was sought by 15 people.
Yeah.
And just sort of unrelatedly, but when I see that number of 10,000 people, this takes me back to something that already feels like it happened a million years ago, which was Eurovision.
Yeah.
And the Vibe guys did Iceland proud, I think, did an amazing job.
Yeah,
despite coming on the leaderboard where they did. But had Vibe won, we'd now be having a conversation about Eurovision coming to Reykjavik.
True.
And we've always said, haven't we, that there's nowhere really big enough. But I guess if you can get 10,000 people in Laugardalshöll, then maybe it is big enough.
Yeah. I think, how many people are in the arena?
Well, I think in Switzerland this year, because they had that amazing big stage in the middle, it was only about 6,000 people they had to take away some of the seating.
Yeah.
So it's not impossible.
No.
That it could happen.
But I think that we need to make some changes after what happened this weekend. But, you know, it's kind of down on the project list to host Eurovision here. It's not going to be next year, and who knows when.
Well, maybe. We don't know who will prevail in Sungvakeppnin when that rolls around again.
That's true.
If you are in Reykjavik, you may have seen some new sites popping up in the city centre, which don't really blend into the background, do they? These are the watchtowers that have been stationed in popular tourist areas, one outside Hallgrímskirkja here, another on the so-called Rainbow Street. And the purpose of these is to keep an eye on people to prevent pickpocketing from taking place, which has certainly been on the rise, not just here in the capital, but at other tourist sites as well. And the consensus seems to be that people are happy that security has been increased, but not happy with these ugly, as they see them, watchtowers.
No, that's true. And kind of personal spaces as well, you know, recordings of people walking around town. But I think it's a part of being a big city where a lot of people from all over the world come for a visit. I think security is, of course, the main reason for it, even though it's not the most beautiful object in Reykjavik, but and like you mentioned, I mean, there has been an increase in pickpocketing in this popular touristy area, so I think it's just a part of trying to do something about that.
And we're calling them watchtowers. There's no one actually sitting there watching, like you're, you know, in the
Berlin, not people
trying to cross the Berlin Wall. But there are cameras here that are intended to spot this happening, I guess, deter people as well. Now, Pieter Guðmundsson of the Capital Police says that between April and May this year, there were 18 reports of pickpocketing crimes, compared with just 5 during the same period last year. So this is on the rise. And Ruv asked him if it's possible to have something that's a bit less, you know, intrusive and ugly. He says it's in the works. So hopefully these will be temporary until it's possible to... I guess what you want, though, you kind of want them to be visible because you want to deter the pickpockets from committing the crime.
Of course, but also maybe you could the other side of that penny might be that, you know, you want to not be visible, but and then something happens, maybe you don't know that you're being filmed while you're pickpocketing, but you know, then you can catch the guys who are doing it.
Well, I suppose, I mean, speed cameras are supposed to be brightly colored because they're supposed to slow drivers down, not just to give them a fighting chance of not being prosecuted. So I wonder what the long-term answer to this is. Maybe is, as you say, as a place becomes more popular with visitors around the world, it just becomes a more sort of target-rich environment, doesn't it?
And isn't even related to tourism. I mean, we've had increase in crimes as well.
Yes,
violent crimes and so forth. So I think this is probably just a part of, like I said, being always a bigger city.
A bigger city, because Reykjavik itself is becoming sizable. It's already about 2/3 of the whole population of the country, isn't it? And then you add on the rest of the capital area, Kópavogur and Garðabær and all the towns around the outside as well.
And then all the visitors that come here every year on top of that.
Talking of tourism.
Yeah.
I've been here for 2.5 years now. I'm an Icelandic citizen, as you know, and there's pretty much nothing that I don't love or understand about the country. I don't like licorice. I can't do licorice.
Oh, okay. We should work on that.
Yes, before my passport is taken away. The other thing that I don't do that many Icelanders do, and again, it relates to what we were saying earlier about not liking the hot weather, we don't go on holiday to Tenerife.
No. That leaves just the two of us there, I think.
Oh, do you not go either?
I've been there once. I understand the beauty of travelling somewhere in the same time zone where you get definitely good weather.
To another volcanic island.
Yes. So I understand that, but you know, it's not on the top of my bucket list.
No, but it is something that I've had to explain to more than one visitor to Iceland when they watch the weather forecast here on Rúv at the end of the news bulletin or after Fréttir. And you'll see the weather for Iceland, of course, and then the weather for the rest of Europe, and the camera pans around the whole continent. And then there's a weather forecast just for the Canary Islands.
Yes, and that's for a reason. A lot of Icelanders are either, you know, going there soon, have some family who are staying there over. So it's for a reason.
Well, even more Icelanders are going to Tenerife now, this time not to top up on their tan, but to drill for geothermal energy.
Yes, that's... is the case, I understand. It's an Icelandic company which is leading a project on who are going to, you know, drill.
Into Tenerife.
Yes.
And I guess that's because we have the expertise here in Iceland.
That's true. Yes. We have some experience in that area.
Yes, just a bit.
So it's not just tourism we're after there, apparently. But I think it's just starting, isn't it? It is.
Yeah. But it's quite ambitious because the boreholes are reaching depths of up to 3,000 metres, which is 3 kilometres, which is, I mean, that's longer. That's a longer distance than I would walk,
never mind
drill, if I'm perfectly honest. In the west and southern parts of the island, we've got Magnus Ausbjørnsson, who's the CEO of Reykjavik Geothermal. He says it's a tremendous opportunity. And I suppose the difference, one difference between Tenerife and Iceland, apart from the weather, is that so much of Tenerife's electricity is generated from oil and imported oil at that, whereas here in Iceland, of course, almost none is.
So if they have all this power locked up in the island, of course, that should be good to use it.
Yes. So maybe now there'll be even more flights between Keflavik and Tenerife. Maybe one day I'll get out there and see what all the fuss is about. Who knows? Busy time for you. You're reading the bulletins on Fretir today and tonight, as we say. And Þetta Fret is this news, the panel show that you host.
Yes.
When's that back on us?
Hopefully in January. We have the same spot that with a program called Kapsmál. So they are in the fall and we are in, you know, after Christmas.
And no shortage of news to talk about and pull apart on that show.
No, it's not a problem to fill each episode of kind of funny spins on news because, news are not boring.
Þetta Fret is this news. Have we ever looked at a story and thought, actually, that's not news, we won't bother covering that?
Yeah, true.
Bjarte, thanks very much indeed. Bjarte Bjørnsdóttir joining me today for this episode of The Week in Iceland on RÚV English Radio, which is now back to its normal schedule. You'll find a new programme every single day in all the usual places. This is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam, and you can get in touch with us anytime by email. We're english@ruv.is.
There is more from RÚV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.